Say it again.
I must trust God.
Say it again.
I must trust God.
Amen. I must trust God at all times. At all times. Because you got too many things coming from too many different directions coming at us. We've got to trust God, folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When in Ephesians chapter 6, when it tells us to put on the whole armor of God, you know, and it talks about, I won't go through all of them, but the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and on. But I want you to, not tonight, I mean, not during this service, but I want you to check out something in Ephesians chapter 6 when it comes to the armor of God. Notice that it says put on the whole armor, right?
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God. But if you read that carefully, you'll find out that there is nothing listed there to cover your back. Think about it. Ephesians chapter 6. There is nothing to cover your back. And the reason for that is your back should never be to the enemy.
Amen.
Your back should never be facing the enemy. If your back is facing the enemy, evidently you're running. Evidently you are being chased. Evidently, fear has taken over. And you've turned to run. And by turning to run or run away or flee, you expose yourself to be attacked. Ephesians chapter 6, we won't turn there. That's the reason we got to keep our faith strong. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, shield of faith that will protect us from all the fiery darts of the devil. But no running, no turning and running. Because God has already given us everything we need to be victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But now, I want you to understand something. Listen to me. Your faith will be tested. Do you know that?
Yes.
If you've been saved any period of time, you already know what I'm telling you.
Amen.
Is true. Your faith is going to be tested. The devil's going to test you. Situations and circumstances in your life is going to test you. Yeah. Amen. Turn to, in your Bibles, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. I think a couple of months or so, maybe, I don't remember exactly when it was, I ministered this to you, or a portion of it, but I want to come back again. Luke chapter 22. Now, in Luke 22, Jesus was teaching here, as he did often. But in 31, verse 31, this is Luke 22, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." And listen to what Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Now, we see here that Jesus, he was really prophesying to Peter. He told Peter that the devil wanted to take him, and not just Peter, anybody he can get, but he wanted to take him and sift him like wheat. But Jesus told Peter, he says, "Peter, now I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you that your faith don't fail." And now Jesus goes into prophecy. He says, "When you have returned to me." Wow. "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So Jesus was letting Peter know, and I'm not even sure, I don't even think Peter understood it, what Jesus was saying. But he was prophesying to Peter that you're going to stumble. But I've prayed for you that your faith don't fail. And listen at what he says. As a matter of fact, we have it here on the screen. Verse 32, Luke 22, verse 32. "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when," everybody say when. I'm so glad Jesus didn't say if. Because Peter was a valuable brother to the body of Christ, wasn't he?
Amen.
Amen. We read his books, don't we? First and Second Peter. They are a blessing. God used him. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus did not say, if you return to me, strengthen your brethren. No, what Jesus said is when. When you return to me, strengthen your brethren. But he let Peter know what Satan was up to. He let Peter know that the devil is up to something. And we can't lose sight of that either. Now, we can't get focused on what the devil's doing. We need to be focused on what God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But we just can't bury our heads in the sand and act like, you know, nothing is happening. He's always scheming and trying to trip us up, right?
Amen.
Amen. So we don't need to bury our heads in the sand, but we don't need to allow that to be a distraction either. Because like we said earlier from Ephesians chapter 6, if you put on the whole armor of God, you are ready for him. However he chooses to come at you, you're ready for him because you have prepared yourself. Hallelujah. So we understand then that our faith is going to be tested. But now I want to, let's read on. He said in verse 33, "But he said to him," this is Peter talking now, "but he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you." Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. But Peter really wasn't ready. But he thought he was. And then he said, he being Jesus, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me. Reread that, verse 34 again. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Wow. Jesus prophesied to him again. But now let's drop down to verse 54 since we're here. And we'll read a little bit because I want you to grab a hold of something here. Verse 54. Having arrested him, that's Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Okay, that's a tip off right there, isn't it? Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. What you reckon happened to Peter then? All of a sudden, fear pops up. Because Peter had already declared that he's willing to go to prison for Jesus. He's willing to die for Jesus. Now, that's not fear talking there, is it? I mean, that doesn't sound like fear, does it? I mean, that sounds bold, right? But now when this little servant girl says, oh, yeah, you've been with him, now fear shows its ugly face. Look at verse 57. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. Fear made Peter lie. Fear made him tell a lie. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I'm not. Verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidentially affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Hadn't even finished speaking. The rooster crowed. And now, this got to get you here. This got to get you here. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Ooh, man. Wow. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Wow. Folks, listen, that's the reason we've got to stay in faith. We cannot allow fear to come in and grip us. Because when you become a slave to fear, fear can make you do anything. Fear will cause you to do things you said you would never do. We see an example of it right here, don't we? Fear will cause you to do things that you said you would never do. And you know what fear does? It drives you away from Jesus. Notice it says Jesus turned and looked at him. Peter remembered what the Lord had spoken to him. And Peter went away. He wept bitterly and he left. Oh, how I wonder sometimes, folks, how many people have walked away from the Lord because they were fearful over this pandemic. How many people have said, "I'll never go back to church because of this pandemic. I'm just going to stay in my house." Believe me, and I'm sure you, same way. I've met people that are just so fearful. And I have never told anybody to be reckless, have I? No, I've never told anybody to be reckless. You do what you can do. But you know what? We've still got to trust God. We've got to trust God. We've got to trust God, folks. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. We got to trust God. Because you have to understand, we are human. We are human. We don't know everything. We can't do everything. And we can only be one place at a time. Let's just say you're doing everything you know to do reasonably. Now, some folks doing some extreme stuff. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But you're doing what you know to do. But yet and still, someone else come up to you, breathe in your face. You understand what I'm saying? Or spit on you accidentally. What are you going to do? Panic and say, "Oh, Lord, it's all over now. Take me home, Lord. I know I'm coming." It don't matter. You still got to trust God. That's the point I want to make. We have still got to trust God. No, I'm not going to get in my car and and drive down the road 100 miles an hour and say, well, I ain't worried about it. I'm trusting God. Now I might get to meet him before time. It's because I'm being irresponsible. You follow what I'm saying? But when I get in my car and I'm driving down the road, I'm not fearful. I'm going to do what I can, but I'm trusting God to do what he do. Amen. God, you do what you do, I'm certainly going to do what I do. Amen. 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 Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We've got to trust him. We are in this world. We're not of it, but we are in this world, and we have got to believe God. Whatever you do, don't let fear get a hold of you to the point where it paralyzes you. Peter became fearful. And then when he realized what he had done, it drove him away from God. Don't you allow anything or anyone to separate you from God. Amen. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Hallelujah. Let's see if I can read. Let's read a little bit more about Peter here while we're on the subject. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 21. I'll just read a little bit here. John's Gospel, chapter 21. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. And this is after the crucifixion and his being raised from the dead. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. This is what Simon said. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Wow. I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Isn't it bad? The devil's a mean devil. When you're down anyway, when you're frustrated anyway, when you're disappointed in yourself and disappointed in your own decisions that you've made, and so you decide, man, I'm just going to get away for a while. I'm going to get away and I'm going to do a little fishing and I'm just going to relax. Rather than relax, you fish all night and catch nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He knew where they were. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. I'd have liked to have heard their response. They probably put some emphasis on the no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter. We all know who that is, right? That's John. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Amen. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Wow. Didn't want to face him. Any of you folks ever been there? Any of you watching me right now ever been there? I'm telling you, that's not the end, though. I want to say something to you. Don't ever run from the Lord. Amen. Always run towards him. Because your mind, influenced by the devil, is going to tell you, run away from God. It's not working for you. Your faith is not working. Look at this. Look at that. This happened. That happened. Why don't you just go? God's not on your side anyway. Don't you buy it for half a second. Don't you buy it for half a second. God is on your side. And God is for you. And God wants to lead you. And God wants to guide you. Notice something. Jesus already prophesied to Peter what was going to happen. But Jesus didn't give up on Peter. And because and just like Jesus didn't give up on Peter, Jesus also, he never give up on us. Amen. He doesn't give up on us. Hallelujah. Verse 8. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. Now that was in Peter's net. Remember, they fished all night and caught nothing. Now that's another sermon right there. All you preachers listening to me out there, you can fish all night and catch nothing without Jesus. But when you listen to his instructions and do it his way, I tell you what, you'll have a net full. You hear me? You'll have a net full. You'll have more than enough. Matter of fact, you'll have a net breaking load. Let me read verse 11 again. I didn't finish it. Simon Peter went up, dragging the net to land, full of large fish. I like that, large fish. Not puny fish, but large fish. Large fish mean God's blessing was on those fish. Hallelujah. 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. All right? Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. I can imagine kind of hunching each other. You know that's the Lord, don't you? Yeah, I know. That's, yeah. You see, that's the Lord. Yeah, I know. You gonna say anything to him? You gonna ask him anything? No, you ask him. Verse 13, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now look at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, notice who he spoke to, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now he's talking to the fellow that had denied him. Three times denied him. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Notice what Jesus was doing. He was restoring Peter back into the sheepfold. I tell you what, there's restoration, folks. You may have messed up, blew it, but Jesus will take you back if you just give him your life, give him your heart. He said, the same Peter that denied him, now he's telling him, Peter, feed my sheep. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time. By the way, keep in mind, Peter denied him how many times?
Three.
All right. He's restored him. Hallelujah. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. For every time Peter denied him, Jesus asked him, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me? And then he had another prophecy for him. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, what?
Follow me.
Follow me. Follow me. Peter himself said, before he denied the Lord, Lord, I die for you. Lord, I go to prison for you. But when the faith test came, Peter failed it. Jesus restored him. And then Jesus told him again, Peter, there's coming a day that people are going to put your clothes on for you. They're going to take you places you don't want to go. And even you'll have to give your life for me, Peter. But Peter, follow me.
Amen.
Follow me. And there's so much more I could say, and I've gone longer than I meant to anyway. But here's what I want to leave with you. When your faith is tested, stand strong. Amen. But if you happen to have fallen, don't stay down. Get up. Because God will restore you. Aren't you glad that God does not hold your failures against you? Aren't you glad that God don't hold the bad decisions that we've made over our lifetime against us? And all he tells us to do is 1 John 1:9, and you're absolutely right, follow him. But 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. Confess your sins. Don't try to hide them. Don't try to make excuses. And we're living in a time now, brothers and sisters, where people don't want to just fess up and say, listen, I was wrong. Well, we see it all over the place. Even folks in politics, you know, they blow it, but they make up excuses for what they do or don't do. But the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But listen, we got to come clean. We got to tell it the way it is. And don't try to hide it. Don't try to clean it up. Don't try to make excuses. Lord, I messed up. This is what I did. But I am coming to you. Asking for forgiveness. Because when we hide our sins, we're only fooling ourselves. When we make excuses for our sins, we're only fooling ourselves. Go before God like an open book. God, Jesus Christ, forgave Peter and established with Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Now, follow me. Follow me. Don't let your faith fall again. Follow me. You're going to have some hard times. You're going to have some trying times. Follow me. Are you with me? You see it? Amen. Jesus never told Peter it was going to be easy, did he? He let him know there's going to be some trying times. There's going to be some tough times. And matter of fact, for you, Peter, it's going to even cost you your life. But follow me. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight.